Thanks for downloading Inheritance Tracks. This was first broadcast in 2009, and you can hear more every week on Saturday Live, BBC Radio 4's top live Saturday morning radio live programme, from 9.
Those of you who are listening to us live will know that today is July the 4th, and if you're doing the listen again thing, then maybe it's not July the 4th, but it's not too late to stand up and sing the Star Spangled Banner. I'm sure that there's a call in somewhere to President Obama to ask him to do his Inheritance Tracks, but whilst we wait for him to get back to us, can I introduce Harlan Coben to you? Harlan is a best-selling American crime writer whose books star the exploits of sports agent Myron Bolitar. Harlan often sets his books in New York and New Jersey, where he lives with his wife and four kids. And this morning we say, hello, American friend. These are your Inheritance Tracks.
The song that I'm going to inherit, I'm going to pick Jungle Land by Bruce Springsteen. It's funny, I was trying to think about my parents in terms of music. And I even emailed my brothers about this. And there's like none. My parents never really played music. We had three albums in our house. We had West Side Story, Mame, and I think we had something by Nana Mouskouri, who was a Greek singer that my mother was into for a short period of time. And there's really nothing there I kind of want to remember. But, you know, I loved music growing up, myself and my brothers and I, and we, you know, from New Jersey. And we first heard Springsteen's Born to Run album. Man, that changed everything.
The Rangers had a homecoming in Harlem late last night. And a magic rat drove his sleek machine over the Jersey state line.
It means so much to me. You know, I was 13 or 14 when that album came out. And again, I grew up in New Jersey, but not like Bruce. I never liked fast cars. I never got the car thing, or didn't grow up down the shore of New Jersey where Bruce did. But I think it's that whole idea of dreaming and striving, and in their cases, you know these guys aren't going to make it. They're all on the losing end of life, that really appeals to me. First time I heard Jungle Land, my brother, older brother, bought the album. You know, that's how I think a lot of people heard their first music. And I remember looking at the album and there's that picture of Bruce leaning against Clarence Clemens on the cover. And I had never heard anything quite like that. The music, of course, is magnificent and so different. All these different things that Bruce tried. If you listen to it, there are wonderful vignettes on life. And, you know, it was the first time I really would sit with the headphones on in my bed and listen to each lyric and try to figure out what it means. You remember when you were doing that a lot when you were in high school? Now it's easy. The kids can look it up on Google. You had the liner notes or whatever, and you would just kind of concentrate and, I'm sure, dig up meanings that Bruce couldn't have imagined on the loftiest of LSD trips. But that was part of the fun. I've gotten to know some of the guys in Bruce's band, and I've met Bruce, and I've been able to take my older brother to some of the shows. And he was the one, and we talked about it. Like, I remember when you first got that Born to Run album and listening to it with you. Though, of course, he was an older brother and a total pain in the ass and trying to push me out of the room. But it still has a great deal of significance. I think Springsteen was one of the few moments when I was a little bit starstruck. I was backstage, and Nils Lofgren, who is the lead guitarist for the E Street Band, and Max Weinberg, and there was a number of times they said, do you want to meet Bruce? He's just like, there was a line of people to meet him. And I said, no, I really don't want to shake his hand. I just didn't want to. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago when I was at a smaller party, and there was just a moment that Bruce and I'd written an op-ed piece for the New York Times on something that happened to Bruce, and Bruce told me that he and Patty had put it up on the refrigerator. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Bruce had my thing up on the refrigerator. And trying not to be that way, but it's weird because I'm 47 years old, Bruce is 59, but he's been a part of my life, and I was trying to explain to him without having that kind of moment when you cross over between being a fan and being a little scary, trying to explain to him what his music meant to me. And then we really whined about George Bush the rest of the conversation. You know, after picking a classic like Jungle Land and hoping that my kids really listen to that so they understand what the sublime is, I'm going to pick a slightly cornier song. In the musical Rent, There's a song called 525,600 Minutes. I love musicals. I grew up with musicals, and I still am corny about loving them. And it opens up Act Two, and it's just a wonderful message. It's these people that just line up and they sing this song. How do you measure a year is really what they're talking about. Do you do it in daylights, in cups of coffee, in diapers? How do you measure a person's life in years of these characters that are dying? And it's a real good message of living each moment as though it's your last. And that's maybe a corny message, but it's one that needs to be repeated, and one I want my kids to take home with them. You know, I want them to always do that.
Inches in miles in laughter and striving, 525,600 minutes.
The good thing about musicals is that you can be schmaltzy, but it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that every once in a while. You know, as a writer, I try to create emotion that's not going to go over the top. I want to move you in a dramatic way without being sentimental or schmaltzy. Musicals, it's okay to be schmaltzy. And that's one of the things that I like about it. I also sometimes, I don't do it quite as much as I used to, but also I used to love to get the CD after I would see a musical, because you can kind of live the moments that you loved. And the best musical I've seen over the last decade was Rent, because it was revolutionary in its own way. The music is more rock and rollish, so I love it for that reason. And it's also, to me, you can share across generations. I can take all of my kids to see a musical. I think it was the second or third time I've seen Rent when I took the kids to see it, and I knew they would love it. And that's really one of the great joys of being a parent. When you see it through their eyes, it's different. You also have to accept as a parent, sometimes they're not going to get it. You know, they're not going to like the same music, they're not going to like the same movies, but for the most part, they kind of do. When my father passed away, which was the first great tragedy of my life, I remember thinking that he left behind three sons who really loved him. I mean, really loved him and worshipped him in a way that, without him being great. I mean, he was never a great athlete or did anything fantastic in his life, but he was a great father. My great hope is that when I do pass, that my kids will feel the same way about me.
You've been listening to Inheritance Tracks from Saturday Live. There are many more to treasure and enjoy on the BBC Radio 4 website, where you can also download Desert Island Discs.